Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
If you're newish here, we have been going through a series on presence, the presence of God, not presence like gift presence, but presence of God. And so we're going to carry on in that series this morning. The title of the message this morning is Hurry Up and Stop. And that will make sense, I hope, later on in a few minutes. But what we have done in this series is we flipped our meeting. We typically have always were like Church USA. We have worship first and then the sermon. But during this series, we've actually had the message first and worship in response. And I felt very strong and impressed by the Lord at the end of last year. See, there's an amen. That we actually do this. And it's the word, hopefully, the plan, the desire is the word softens my heart to respond to him in worship. That I would hear it, that the word of God, as I listen to it and I'm moved, I think, Lord Jesus, you're so good. You're so kind. How can I do anything but worship? Because we all have challenges. We all have challenges in our life that are hard and difficult and that can deflect us and things that are going on and distract us. We live in a busy, busy world that vies for our attention. And one of the beautiful things that the Bible does is it brings us reality. It brings us focus. It brings a right attention for my heart. And so just for this series, we are having the message first and then worship and response. So if you're wondering, what in the world are they doing? Blame it on me. So presence is our series. Hurry up and stop. And we're going to look into, and you don't have to open your Bibles yet, but you can. We're going to look into a first 10 verses of Luke chapter 19. And this is Jesus is encountering someone yet again. It's so funny when Cedric referenced a scripture up here. It was Mark 10:45. Even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. One of my favorite Bible verses. I love it. And I just, God spoke to me that when I was a very, very young Christian. It's like, Tom, don't worry about who's helping you, who's not helping you. Why don't you go help somebody? You can figure that out later. And when I look at what Jesus did and does, he what kind of king is this that would step off the throne, come as a child, be disrespected his entire life, die on a cross for people who wanted to put him on a cross? Who would give up their life? What kind of king is that? It's this king. And in Luke 19, it's this king who at this point of his life is about 33 and a half years old. He has lived his life known, obvious, apparent, after he's baptized by John the Baptist. It's 3.5 years into his ministry now, and Jesus is at the conclusion, at the culmination of 3.5 years of ministry. He has now 1 week left on earth to live. And it's funny, in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's 89 chapters that comprise those four books in the Bible. 89 chapters. One-third of those chapters, 29, had to do with just the last week of his life. Just the last week. In fact, it's so funny as we read our Bibles that out of the four Gospels, only four total chapters say anything about Jesus' first 30 years in life. We don't know basically anything about his first 30 years. Very, very, very little. But it is 3.5 years, that's the focus of the Gospels. But especially this last week of his life. It's almost like, you know, in Luke 19, and again, I apologize for the illustration. Some of us will get it. It's like right now in Luke 19, it's just the bottom of the ninth inning in Jesus' life. He has spent his life. His 33 and a half years, it's down to the wire now. And Jesus was anything but casual. Jesus was anything but whimsical, just living his life casually, any old way. Jesus was clearly the most focused man who ever walked the earth. The most focused man. But Jesus isn't surprised by the moment. He's not like going, do I have a week left, a month left, 2 years left? He's not like us. Jesus understood that in basically 7, 8, 9 days, I'm going to be hanging on a cross. No surprise to Jesus. He came with a plan, and his plan was to die for us. And Jesus is now, his life has been squeezed into, I've got 1 week left. If I knew I had 1 week left, how would I live my life? What would I be doing? How would I be interacting with people? If I had aught against someone, if I had offense with someone, if I had a bad relationship, maybe in that last week I might be going to those people and asking for forgiveness. Because I'd rather sort it out on this side than stand before God with ugliness in my heart. How would I live my life if I only had 1 week left? And I, you know, in my ugly moments, I mean, Hawaii? Aruba? Maybe go Caribbean somewhere? Go spend time with my best friends and I don't know, go and do something incredibly fun? And Jesus spent his last week on earth for the benefit of people. Every moment for people. At this point in this chapter 19, Jesus is headed towards Jerusalem, headed towards the Passover, headed towards the cross. As we pick it up in Luke 19, the first verse, and we'll read it in just a second, it says he's just passing through. He's going somewhere. It's like maybe you're going to go to Nashville next weekend. Well, you're going to have to go into the city. You're going to cross over into Illinois. You're going to go through some places to get to where you want to go. And Jesus at this point is passing through a city named Jericho. He's just going somewhere. But I love the fact that with Jesus, there's no accidents. There's no wasted time. There's no wasted moments. And Jesus, I feel at this, it's my belief, understanding of the type of life that Jesus lived. It's not an accident, the people that he bumps into. I think he had actual appointments, divine appointments from heaven. And I look at myself and I think, what if I were to live my life like that? If I woke up every morning and say, Jesus, show me today somebody that I need to show your love to. Show me someone today that I can give hope to. Show me someone today that I can love really, really well. Well, the person that Jesus is meeting this day is one of the messiest, most despicable people of his time, of his day. Jesus' appointment today was not with a priest, was not with a rabbi, was not with a teacher. Jesus was not going to a Bible study with a woman's aglow meeting. A men's aglow meeting. I don't even think there is a men's aglow. But Jesus' appointment today was with somebody that the entire city of Jericho knew who he was. Jesus is going to encounter a man today that everyone despised. I won't use the word hated because it's way too strong. He might have been hated by many. And this man, the Bible describes him, it actually says his name is Zacchaeus. And this man, Zacchaeus, in his life, in his job, in his occupation, he was completely unethical. You want to start a business? You want to hire somebody? What are your credentials? Well, I'm kind of unethical. I do whatever I want to do whatever I want. And if it hurts people, so be it, as long as I am helped. I don't think I'm going to hire that person. Zacchaeus was grossly opportunistic. He was a financial predator on people. And he sold out his own people, the Jewish nation. He sold out his own people for his own personal gain. We tend to despise those people, scammers, thieves. I have a good friend of mine who's a very, very wealthy man, and he lost his entire wealth due to a scammer. Lived his whole life acquiring, and just a godly, godly man. And a scammer took it, and it's gone in one night, all of it. No recourse. Scammers. Well, the man, Zacchaeus, is a scammer. And I don't have happy thoughts when I think about scammers, especially those people that prey on the elderly. You hear those stories, you know, Action 5 News or Channel 4 News, and they talk about helping those people, older people that have been scammed by telemarketers, and it just, oh, just something on the inside just incenses me. It's just grossly unjust. Well, Zacchaeus is one of these scammers. But his is legal the way he did it, if you will. Not legal in God's eyes, legal in the time that he lived. And Jesus encounters this man. And I think so many times we think, oh, if Jesus, he would tell him what's up. He'd tell him what he's really, how bad they are. And then I find how Jesus, what he does with people. And it's typically just the opposite of my bad attitude. Anybody ever find that? You look at it and you think, Lord, help my bad attitude. But when Jesus shows up, just his physical presence, just when he walks into the room, changes everything. My stinking attitude hopefully goes right out the window. Lord Jesus, help me to be like you. Let's pick it up and just read through it. Luke 19, verse 1 through 10. There will be rejoicing in the land as we look at the New American Standard Bible.
Amen.
See? It's what I got saved with. Luke 19, verse 1 through 10. Father, help us this morning to see you. Help me to soften my heart, Lord. Help me to see you as you really are. And Father, help me to see myself in self-awareness of where I really am. Father, that I would adjust my heart where it needs to be adjusted. I would adjust my attitudes, Lord, where they need to be adjusted. Lord, that I would sift through according to the filter of heaven. Not compared to Joe or Ed or Carl or Floyd, but Father, what does my heart look like compared to yours, Jesus? Help me, Lord, to respond appropriately. And everyone said, amen, amen. Luke 19, verse 1 through 10. He entered Jericho. He, Jesus, he entered Jericho. And again, the last week of his life, he's just starting the last week of his life. He's headed towards Bethany to be with Lazarus, Mary, and Martha for his last week. And then he goes to Passover in Jerusalem. So he's at the conclusion of his own ministry, his own life. He, Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. And he was rich. And it's so funny. I don't know, when you think IRS or somebody, don't raise your hands. Anybody been audited? No, don't raise your hand, Joe. Don't. No, you're too young to be audited. Don't wish it. It's one of those things when you open up a letter and you're in your letterbox and it's from the IRS, my heart just starts thumping. Lord Jesus, may it not. Hopefully I have nothing to hide. But just the whole thought of going through it. IRS audit, IRS. I don't want to see those letters anywhere in my mailbox, in my emails. May I not see the IRS? Well, this guy isn't just a tax collector. He is a chief tax collector, which means he's over a region of tax collectors. He's the head honcho. He's the big shot. Kind of funny because he's not big, but we'll get to that. He's a small big shot. He was known in the city, Zacchaeus. Everybody knew who he was, and as importantly, what he was. Even if he wasn't corrupt, we tend not to have favorable thoughts about tax collectors. Like, you're taking my money. I like my money more than you. Tax collector. And his name is Zacchaeus. It's kind of funny. His name actually means pure or innocent. Pure or innocent. There's an oxymoron. Like freezer burn. Jumbo shrimp. Oxymoron. Not how you pronounce it, but I like to say it like that. So this little guy, we'll find out he's a little guy in a second. Zacchaeus, pure and innocent. Can you imagine some He walks past saying, anything but, you little weasel. Getting ahead of myself. The tax collectors were there. This is not reading the scripture at this point. Were there to exact charge from the Jewish people monies going to the conquering nation of Rome and the Romans. So Zacchaeus was a Jew himself. He was Jewish. And he was employed by the Romans to take money from the Jewish community to pay for all the indulgences of Rome, which were many, for all the Roman roads and the aqueducts and the armies as they swept across the known world at that point. They would take monies from the conquered nations, which was Israel. So they would best, in their mind, was to take some of the locals to get them to do the dirty work for them, because they know, like, Mark. Can I pick on you for a second?
Sure.
There we go. I love that. We all know Mark has $4.8 million tucked away and in a Caribbean account offshore. 4.8. I just spoke it into being, may it be.
Amen.
See? It's coming your way, my friend.
Yeah, I'll take it.
But the funny thing is, Sandy just gave him tomatoes because she thinks he has nothing because she doesn't really know Mark. It's okay, Sandy, just play along. It's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Because she doesn't know him, she's just going to help him. But I know Mark Losman, and I know he's got 4.8 stashed in a Caribbean account because I know the people that I'm around. And so why would the Romans use Jewish people to collect taxes? Because they know what the money where it really is. You can say you don't have it. I know you got it. Your grandpa had it. Your daddy got it. You got it. So the Romans, it's just let the local guys do the dirty work, but also they actually know where the money really is. And Zacchaeus was employed to extract monies. And the funny thing is this, in the time and day, let's just say the tax was 10%. There was multiple taxes that were extracted from the people. The way the Romans worked was, Zacchaeus, you collect 10% for us. Anything you can get out of them after that is yours. That's the way it worked. If I can get Mark to pay 14%, 10 goes to Rome, 4 goes to me. If I know he can pay 21% because I got something on him, I know about his Arubian offshore account. How about you pay me 22%, buddy? Well, the tax is only 10. You want Rome to know you got an extra 12 or an extra 4.8 million?
No.
Okay. So the weasels, the corrupt people, would extract more than what the legal taxes were. And they kept the overage for themselves. That's why they were so hated. It wasn't just they were taking what was owed. And we'll read more about that in the story. Tax collector, to be a tax collector, puts you in a wealthy, powerful position in the community, because you're backed by the army, by Rome. You got a problem with Zacchaeus? Take it up with the centurion. Take it up with Rome. We don't want to offend the family business. So that's Zacchaeus. And they would extract extra. They were profiteers at their own people's expense. Commission, self-determined commission. Wouldn't you like that? You work for a company, I get to determine my own commission. We had a bad month. Well, I'll get double then. What a wonderful life if you could determine your own commission. A tax collector could. Verse 3. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. He was short. Or if you're from St. Louis, short. I'm not from St. Louis, so my wife is, so she's not here, I can say it. And I wonder, Zacchaeus, why was he trying to see Jesus? Now, this is after 3.5 years of public ministry. Everybody, almost everyone in Israel has heard all about Jesus. They certainly haven't met him. They haven't necessarily seen him. But there's this guy, if you're blind, he restores sight. If you can't hear, miracles happen. He's raised people from the dead. He's all over, and the Jewish leaders hate him. And so all the normal little people are like, I think we like Jesus. If the religious leaders hate him, I think I like him. Everybody had heard about Jesus at this point. 3.5 years he's been around doing miracles. Everywhere he went, he healed everyone. And Jericho was a big city. Jesus would be famous in that city. A legend, if you will. Some people, a myth. He can't, all those miracles. I was just with somebody just this last week. And we were talking about, it's a person who doesn't go here. Great person, married my best friend since third grade, since I was 9 years old. And she, I've never seen a miracle. And she was, and she's a lovely, godly woman. And I said, well, the challenge is you live in the United States. I said, go to a third world if you want to see some miracles. It's true. Yeah. If you need a miracle in a third world, there's not a doctor or hospital to help you. What you need is the power of heaven. And thank you, Jesus, for hospitals and doctors. I want help. Give me help. But Jesus was famous. Everybody had heard about Jesus. Some loved him, some loathed him. But everybody knew. And Zacchaeus is a little weaselly tax collector. And even this guy wanted to see him. He was small in stature. Why would Zacchaeus try to see Jesus? Well, one, he's famous, maybe. That's the reason why you want to see somebody famous. You see an athlete or a legend or who's one of the famous singers? Who? Taylor Swift. You. Taylor Swift. I didn't mean you. I meant ew. If Taylor Swift was coming into your neighborhood, you might just peek out the door. Even if you're not a Swiftie. Is that what they call them? You're not a Swiftie. Well, there she is. I say yes, sir. Goodbye. Go. But you, it's a famous person. Why would Zacchaeus want, because a famous person. Or maybe he's also heard one other little thing. Because remember, Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. Which means he would be at odds with all the Jewish leaders. The Jewish leaders would hate him as well, especially the Jewish leaders. But what Zacchaeus had heard about, that this Jesus dude, one of his close followers is a tax collector named Matthew. He's even got this Jesus guy. All the Jewish people, leaders hate me. But this Jesus guy has got a tax collector on his team. His team. What kind of Jewish leader is this guy? He's got a tax collector. I think I like Jesus. I wonder what he's really like. I wonder what this Jesus really looks like. Huh, that guy's come to town. I want to see a man that's got a tax collector on his team. That's kind of cool. We don't know why, but he's up there looking. So verse 4. So he, Zacchaeus, ran ahead, a lot of steps. Zacchaeus ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. Verse 5. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. For today, I must stay at your house. Now, the implication of Scripture is they don't know each other. They've not met. So how would Jesus know that little weasel dude hanging on a sycamore tree limb is named Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus isn't that famous. But maybe Matthew and his group had told him about this one guy. Because it's only 14, 15 miles from Jerusalem, Jericho. It's close by. Maybe Matthew had told him about this weasel dude, the worst of the worst, the chief tax collector. Who knows? Or maybe when Jesus got up that morning, his father, and he was praying, said, you're going to meet a little tax collector today named Zacchaeus. There's gold in the hills. Today you're going mining again. Who knows? We don't know. But Zacchaeus would be freaked out. God knows your name. Jesus knows your name. Oh my gosh. Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. For today, I must stay at your house. My wife would freak out. It's not clean, you can't come. It's Jesus, he can come. Anybody else like that? Got to have the house clean. What if it was Jesus? Would you tolerate it? I don't think Jesus is going to go, Thought so. We've been watching. Put the Oreos down. Pick up the dust cloth. Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Verse 6. I love this. And he, Zacchaeus, and he hurried and came down and received him gladly. Why would Jesus say, hurry down? You're on a tree. Dude, I don't want you to fall and break your neck. Take your time. That's what I would say. Take your time. Yeah, next step. Yeah, you're almost there. Get down, yeah. But Jesus is like, hurry down. I'm coming to your house today. And Zacchaeus could have said, I'm hurrying. I'm doing the best I can. Give me a minute. That's not what Zacchaeus did. He hurried. I wonder what my response is when the Lord tells me to do something. I wonder if I have the same motivation as the inflection of his voice. Anybody ever take their time when the Lord tells you to do something that maybe, you don't know how it's going to turn out? Well, Jesus said, Zacchaeus, hurry. And verse 6, he hurried and received the Lord gladly. Verse 7, everybody say the crowd. The crowd. Some of you did good. When they saw it, they all began to grumble. I wonder who they is. The crowd. All the people that knew this little weasel stealer. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Who are they? They're the normal people. Who are they? People with families. Who are they? People who have to pay taxes. People who are neighbors. People who have jobs. Church-going people. They are like, this little man. If you knew what he did to my grandma, we lost the family property because of Zacchaeus. My aunt lost her house because that little weasel of a man overcharged her, put us out of business. Oh, the townspeople knew all about Zacchaeus. Why would they grumble? Because of the pain he had caused them. Verse 8. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord. All he's done is, Jesus has said, I'm coming to your house. That's all that's happened. Come down, hurry. I'm coming to your house. Zacchaeus comes down. People are grumbling. Verse 8, Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. Remember what he said about Zacchaeus? He was very rich. If you're poor, you're like, here I am. I'll take half of your whatever. There's a lot of poor people. Zacchaeus stopped and said, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded, if I have defrauded anyone, why would he say that? If I've defrauded anyone, I wonder. Sometimes the guilty speak out of guilt. If I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. And the Jewish law was if you'd taken something from someone, you had to pay it back with 20% interest. That was the law, Moses' law, 20% interest. But if you'd taken an animal, stolen an animal, pay back double. But if you took an animal and it died or you killed it and you ate it, pay back four times what the animal was worth. The highest that Moses' law would impose on someone is if you killed someone else's animal or ate it, which would kind of kill it too. And Zacchaeus went to the furthest, the greatest degree of what the law of Moses said. I'll pay back four times, if I've defrauded anyone. And Jesus' response to this little man. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house. Today, salvation has come to this house. Because he too is a son of Abraham. Jesus looked at this man. He's Jewish. He's a son. He may be a prodigal son. He may be a son that no one loves. We don't know the brokenness inside the man. There's no excuse. But it's funny, we've all got a story. And the story might not mean anything to someone else, but it means something to Jesus. Sometimes we hear some of the horrific things that happen in this world. And anger can rise up on the inside. But then when you actually sit and listen to their story, your heart breaks for them. It doesn't excuse their behavior. But I come off my high horse. I come off my high tree branch of judgment. Lord, if you can see this man, Zacchaeus, clearly Jesus saw something in him that was beautiful. And he wanted to restore this man, this son of Abraham, this child who was no different than the Jewish Pharisees who would later put Jesus on a cross. Their hypocrisy exposed in a different way. Thank Lord, let me not judge. Let me extend grace. And Jesus, to almost what Cedric said earlier, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Why did Jesus come? Not to free the Jews from the Roman Empire, not to make all things that are wrong in this world right. Jesus himself came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus told him to come down and hurry. I wonder if he was just testing Zacchaeus' heart. How interested are you, Zacchaeus, in encountering the presence of heaven? How interested are you in encountering Jesus? I love what Zacchaeus did. He encountered the presence of God and is in immediate. Jesus never asked him one thing other than, can I come to your house for dinner? But when you encounter the presence of heaven, it exposes what's in my heart. Can, if I have a soft heart, if I have a willingness. When I encounter the presence, it shows me where I'm really at. And that's where I think in Corinthians, where it talks about when we receive communion, when it says, just take account before you take communion, just do a self-assessment here before you take communion. Because you're about to do something holy in taking the remembrance of the Lord. We're not taking communion this morning. We can relax. But it's all about presence. When you encounter the presence, it shows me where I'm really at on the inside. Zacchaeus, he understood. Can the worship team come up, please? Or you don't have to. I'll sing a few. You're not going to like it, but... Sorry. We actually have a really skilled worship team. And you really don't want me to sing. Rick, thank you for singing. I actually sang Happy Birthday. When most people sing Happy Birthday in my own family, I don't want to sing because I sound so... But Rick, I could sing behind you. It was beautiful. Great, but how? I always got frustrated when I was a new Christian. And I would hear a message in a sermon. I'm like, what does that have to do with me? And so I was always like, what's my take home? What can I personally get from this? So for today, for me, for you, when I look at what Jesus, he's the last week of his life. Why this man? Surely he could have gone to a widow. Surely he could have gone to a bunch of poor people. Sure, he could have gone and healed 19 different people of leprosy and blindness. And there have been so many sick people in Jericho. Why would you take, you got a week left. A week, that's all you've got of your earthly life. And you're going to go spend it with someone like him? Jesus never wastes time, ever. But what if you were the most valuable person in the room? What if you knew that you actually needed to be loved? What if you were really, really broken on the inside and everyone had stopped listening to you a long time ago? And you were just hurting and you were beat up. And the King of Kings said, I'd rather spend time with you. Just me and you. I want to hear your pain. I want to come into your house. I want to see that picture. That's your mom. That's your grandma. I see where you got your nose from. I see where you got your short height from. Grandpa was short too, wasn't he? And Jesus just comes into your world and he starts interacting with you. Why? Because he simply cares about you. He's going to be on a cross in 7 days, but he's got time for you. Forty-eight years ago today, on August 3rd, I was invited by a really close friend of mine, Owen. And Owen was a drug dealer. Owen was a probably one of the worst people in my high school. He was just a bad person. He was my friend. He was really big. I wasn't. I didn't want to get beat up anymore. Owen, will you be my friend? Not quite like that. But Owen was just a bad human being. Drug dealer, took advantage of people, and he was my friend. And I was 18 years old, and I heard Owen became religious. I was like, he's scamming. He's Zacchaeus. He's got an angle. Guarantee you. And I met Owen, and I could see that he was totally different. Totally different. Because I knew Owen. We did a lot of stupid stuff together. Really stupid. But Owen did something. He came to where I worked, and he said, hey, how about you and I go away for a couple days and let's go fishing? So Owen didn't do much, but what he did was step into my world and offer to spend time with me. That's all he did. He knew Jesus, I didn't. He knew that he, my friend Owen, knew that I did not know Jesus. I had no church background. And all he did was ask to spend time with me. Kind of like what Jesus did with Zacchaeus. Can I come to your house? I wonder whose house I need to go visit in my neighborhood. That kid in school that's so troubled, so messy, that's always acting out. That kid that nobody wants to talk to at the lunch table. That lady down the street, she always looks so quiet and so upset. And you've heard rumors about their marriage. Maybe it's time for us to start inviting ourselves over to some people's house and step into their worlds. Not to preach at them, because Jesus didn't preach to Zacchaeus. Never preached to him, because Zacchaeus was in the presence of someone who knew his Father in heaven. Instantly, I want to change. And that night, I asked Owen, August 3rd of 1977, I asked Owen questions. I asked him questions for 2 hours. It was pushing 2 in the morning. And finally I said, stop. I want what you have. But I was the one asking the questions. Owen wasn't preaching at me. I just look at this group of people, and we're so blessed. We have so much. And I just wonder whether it's Fort Zumwalt across the street. Maybe we need to start stepping out of our comfort zones and stepping into other people's world and give away what we have. Because that's all Jesus did. He just gave away what he had, which was life. And people's lives were changed forever. Can we all stand, please? So we have an opportunity to do something this morning. We have an opportunity to worship someone who loves you. You may be here this morning and you don't know Jesus. Can I speak to you just for 45 seconds? It'll be short, trust me. If you don't know Jesus, that he loves you and that he died for you, and if you don't know, if you died today, where you would go, Jesus is here to love you, to change your whole world. And all he wants to know is one simple prayer request. Jesus, will you come into my life? I give you full control. Forgive me for my sins. I surrender, Jesus. If that's you, just pray with me. Jesus, come into my life. Please, I need you. I need you. Please, Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of all my wrongdoing. If you can make something of this life, Jesus, please make something of my life. I completely surrender to you this morning. I will trust in you. I will believe in you. I don't even know all that that means at this point. But Jesus, I know with me in charge, it hasn't gone well. I need you in charge. And I give my heart to you now. Help me, Lord. If you prayed that, I'd like to talk to you afterwards. There's probably 4 or 5 people here that'll be up front. Love to help you afterwards. Don't walk out without, what else do I do? What's next? But for the rest of us, we just focus in for a moment. And I read at the very beginning of the meeting, Psalm 91. And it's he who makes the Lord his shelter will be blessed. Amen. And Lord, I choose to make you my shelter. Some of us have wandered away, whether it's silly actions, silly attitudes, insecurities. But Psalm 103 says this, praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, my emotions, my mind, my decision making, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives? Why are we? Because he's forgiven all my sins.
Amen.
He's healed my diseases. Yes. He's redeemed my life from a pit.
Lord.
And Jesus, instead of getting what I deserved, you crowned me with love and compassion.
That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
And you satisfied my soul with good things.
Yes.
And Lord, you renewed my youth like the eagles. Jesus, we're here to worship you now, to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for the way that you love me and continue to love me. Jesus.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.